Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Hallelujah. Where is Austin at? Austin, you made it in here yet? There's one Austin. Where's Austin? If you can hear me, man, be ready right at the close of this service to worship you. I live to worship you. Those words right there are just beautiful. And worship is all about surrender and just surrendering to God and surrendering to His will. And so I just want to give God praise again for the 53 that surrendered to Jesus and then followed Him in baptism tonight. One more time, can we give a shout out for the 53 baptized here tonight? Amen. And so many I remember seeing at the altar here during Aleph Tav that followed the Lord tonight in baptism. So it's just a glorious thing. We read before the prayer in the Gospel of John. I want to go back and look at this. If there's not, you know, a verse that's underlined in your Bible, make sure you underline this one if you're one that writes in your Bible. And that's verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that if you search the Word, you find Him. If you search the Word, you find Him. So I'm going to say it like this. If you search the Word, you find Jesus. Can you say that with me? If you search the Word, you find Jesus. Now, with that in mind, turn back a few chapters to the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And Lord willing, we're going to be dealing with this a little bit more in a separate series we're in Exodus in a few weeks on a Sunday, about how the Word of God speaks of Jesus. And I am convinced that if you go into your personal time in the Word, or, you know, if that's the foundation of the church you're in search of, that you go looking for Jesus, that's when the Holy Spirit moves. And if we'll do, you know, I've had people not understand Revelation. And Revelation is hard to understand. I don't know if anybody understands Revelation except the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the Father, and the angel that sent it. It's heavy. But I do know this. If you go into the book of Revelation looking for the Antichrist, you've missed the subject. Because it's not the book of the Antichrist. It is the book of Jesus Christ. And so you have to treat God's Word the same way you would that book. And that is say, Lord, show me Jesus in this. He's all over the Word of God. Let me show it to you. John chapter 1, if you're there, say amen. We're in part 2 of John 1:1. We started our summer with taking out scriptures in the Bible to just put emphasis and light on, and that's what we're going to do again here in this service. And we're in the second part of John 1:1, and that is the title of the message, John 1:1. This is the foundational verse. There's two things, two verses here I want us to highlight once again as we looked at in part 1. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and tabernacled, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Let's read all of John 1:1 and then up to that point in John 1:14 out loud, Shreveport and Bossier. Ready? Read. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Keep reading. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So notice, in the beginning was the Word was made flesh, and when the Word was made flesh, we beheld His glory. Now, with that in mind, turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. And I want to show you something down here in verse number 3. Hebrews 1, verse number 3. And so we're just putting all the pieces of this puzzle on the table, and we'll put it all together before the service ends, Lord willing. But watch with me in Hebrews chapter 1. And by the way, just in passing, the book of Hebrews is the book of better. Every chapter highlights something that the new covenant has made better than the old covenant. And the preeminent figure throughout the book of Hebrews is Jesus, because he brings a better covenant. And so in the first chapter, Jesus is highlighted to be better than angels, higher than angels. And we see this message between the first three verses I want us to look at, and then highlight verse 3. Verse 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Read that out loud. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God is speaking through his Son. God is speaking to the world through Jesus. Hallelujah. God is speaking to the world through Jesus. I gave a gentleman a bottle of our water yesterday, and he was out of our house, and I gave him a bottle of water. It had Jesus on the side of it. And his English was limited, and my Spanish was limited, so we couldn't say a whole lot. But he looked at that can and pointed, and he said, Jesus. And I said, Jesus, hallelujah. He said, hallelujah. I'm like, hey, we got that in common, man. I thank God for the word, hallelujah, because it's the same in every language. But man, there is something about the name of Jesus that it doesn't matter where you came from or what you look like. There is just something about that name. I believe I could have gave any kind of water and it would have got any kind of response. But when he saw the name of Jesus on the side of that bottle, he said, Jesus, I said, Jesus, hallelujah. Look here. God who at sundry times and in divers manners, he spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, if you're one that writes in your Bible, next to that statement, write John 1:3. John 1:3. Because had I read John 1:3, when we looked at John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, verse 2. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So when you look at John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1 is establishing the subject being the Word. By the time you get to verse 14, you recognize that this Word is Jesus, but the subject matter being the Word in John 1:1, when you read John 1:3 and it says all things were made by him, him is a pronoun pointing back to the subject, and the subject is the Word. So I could read John 1:3 like this: all things were made by the Word, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? So John 1:1 and 1:3 is saying that God used his Word to make everything that was made. In the beginning was the Word, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. Then you go back and you read Genesis 1:1-3. And Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then verse 2 says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then verse 3 says, and God said, and God said. I was reading something recently, a little Christian blog, and the writer was saying that he was highlighting that why did only God and his Spirit show up in creation, and how Jesus doesn't show up at the beginning in creation. I was like, no, he does show up. He's in verse 3, he's the Word. Verse 3 says, and God said, nothing happened till God said. You look at Genesis 1 and you keep reading after verse 3 when God spoke. You read verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, and God said, and God said, and God said. And you get to the last chapter, the last verse in that chapter, and it says, and God saw. What did God see? He saw what he said. It was his Word that manifested everything. His Word brought to pass. His Word was spoken, and his spirit moved. So God the Father is in verse 1. God the Spirit is in verse 2. And God the Word is in verse 3, confirming John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 3, all things were made by the Word, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. When you read Genesis chapter 1, it was the Word that was doing all the creating. Yeah, I'll tell you something interesting. Years ago, I saw this science video that this, I can't think of the guy's name, young guy, but he's famous for throwing out interesting scientific facts. And he put out this video saying that nothing word-based. This is not Christian-based. This was just some scientific study. And he put out this video and said, based on our latest studies, we believe that the origin of everything that exists was words. I said, well, isn't that just interesting? That's what God been telling you all along, is that the origin of everything was a word. In the beginning was the Word. That is the way. And see, what this does, and just stay with me now, because what this does is this shows us that Jesus existed before Bethlehem. He existed before the virgin womb of Mary. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. There are too many believers today that are moving away from the Word of God, but still profess Jesus. You cannot separate Jesus from his Word. We have got to keep the preeminence on his Word. I have people mock me and say, oh, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. The Word is Jesus. Hallelujah. So watch this in Genesis 2. But watch this back where you are in Hebrews. Because he literally says here in verse 2 that without him was not anything. You know, everything was made by him. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Shreveport Bossier, would you read those two statements right there out of verse 3 out loud? Ready? Read. The brightness of his glory, Jesus is. Jesus is the brightness of the glory of God. He is the express image of his person. So when you look at this verse, the glory of God is defined. The glory of God is the expressed, bright, complete, full image of God. When God expresses himself, when God reveals himself, when God makes himself known, the right response is glory to God. Anytime you see the Lord do something in your life, the right response is glory to God. When you hear a praise report, respond with glory to God. Let me give you an opportunity to respond with the right response when the Lord does something, all right? 53 were baptized tonight. See, that's the right response. Glory to God. To God be the glory. Why? He has manifested himself. He has moved. He has done something that he is worthy of the credit for. That's the glory of God. And that's what Hebrews 1 and 3 is defining here. And it's saying that Jesus is the brightness of his glory, that Jesus is the express image of his person. And look at this next statement in verse 3. And upholding all things by the word of his power. He's saying everything is upheld by his word. Everything is upheld by his word. Folks, what worry about the ocean rising? No, the Bible says by his word, the ocean stops at the sand. It stops at the sea. I'm not worried about what's going on in this world. I recognize that this world still responds to his word, that his word still has all authority. I'm not worried about the sun going out because he said, let there be light, and it'll be light until the Lamb is the light of this world. Hallelujah. And so his word upholds all things. God will always have what he says. God will always have what he says. All you got to do is know what he says, and he'll always have what he says. He upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I told you earlier that the theme of the book of Hebrews is better. Here it is in verse 4, being made so much what? Better. And the whole theme is how Jesus is better. Oh, glory to God. Amen. And Jesus is better. The glory of God. Now, let's go to the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. If you're taking notes, write this down. The Word of God is the container of the glory of God. The Word of God contains the glory of God. The person that fully expressed who God is, his name is Jesus, the manifested Word. That's why John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. When the Word manifests, God's revealing himself. And when the Word was made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, the glory of God was revealed in Jesus. That's why they came to him and they said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. He said, what, have I been so long with you that when you have seen me, you have seen the Father? Jesus is the express image of the Father. Now, watch this in the Gospel of Luke, and I want to go to the 24th chapter and look at this story that is recorded after Jesus had been raised from the dead. So Jesus had been raised from the dead. Women came back and testified that the tomb was empty. Mary came back and she said, hey, I went to the tomb and it's empty. If anybody believes that the gospel is a hoax and this stuff was made up by man would have been pretty ignorant. Because in this day and in this culture, you could not take the testimony of a woman. No, ladies, don't look at me crazy. In this day, right here when this happened, you could not take the testimony of a woman. And God chose a woman to be the first one to see the tomb empty. Hey! But if it were a man authoring this, he wouldn't have let a woman be the first one to find a tomb empty, because in that day, you couldn't take the testimony. It had to be a man that had seen it. And so we know that this wasn't no hoax, because God revealed this to Mary. You say, why Mary? Because she showed up. Amen. And so the disciples now are communing on whether or not what went down. Where's Jesus? Where's the body? The tomb was empty. What's going on? And while they were talking about all that, Jesus showed up, verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I love this. They're trying to figure out what had already been worked out. Verse 16, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another and walk around and sad? Why are you oppressed, depressed, in a mess, can't rest? Verse 18, and one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said to him, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which are come to pass here these days? He said, what things? Jesus messing with them. What things? And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and to crucify him. They crucified him. Oh, but we trusted it would have been him that should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Jesus at this point said, I had enough. Verse 25. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Shreveport Bossier, read the next verse out loud. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? This had to be manifested. This word, this promise had to be manifested. So look what he does in verse 27, and you have to admit right here, they don't know who he is. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses, look at there, first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, and beginning at Moses, and we've been in Genesis and Exodus now for over a year on our Sunday series. But notice what Jesus did when he began at Moses, which would have been Genesis, the first book, is he is going to take them to what Moses wrote and show them in Moses' writings himself. So Jesus is showing them in the scriptures who he is. The first verse we read in John 5:39, Jesus said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have one thing, but they actually speak of me. And so what he's getting ready to do with the disciples here is he's going to show them in the scriptures who he is. Why in the world would we get into God's word and do anything else? If Jesus used the Bible to reveal himself, how much more do we need the Bible to get a revelation of Jesus? I don't want to set up under a message that's not based on the written word of God, because there is no revelation outside the written word of God. Amen. So watch this. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, read it out loud with me, Shreveport Bossier, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He used the Bible to reveal who he was. He used God's word to explain. I can see him now in my mind's eye. I can see him now just going back through, you know, the writings of the beginning, authored by the Spirit of God through Moses and Genesis. And just, I can see him starting in Genesis 1:1 and showing them the Aleph Tav that was in the first verse. I can see him going to Genesis 3, where there was a promise made that a seed would be born that would bring victory over the enemy, and saying that promise was about me. I can see him going to verse 21, where that lamb was offered to give Adam and Eve a covering, and by the shedding of innocent blood, they were atoned. And I can see Jesus saying, see there, that was me. And I can see Jesus just going forward in Genesis all the way up, say, to the 22nd chapter when Abraham is got Isaac on an altar of wood, and the whole picture was the Father and the Son, and the lamb was caught in a thicket with thorns around its head. And I can see that substitute taking Isaac's place, Jesus pointing to that, saying, that was a picture of me. I can see Jesus taking him to Jacob's ladder in the 28th chapter, where Jacob is seeing a vision in a certain place of angels going up this ladder and back down this ladder, and then heaven was engaged in earth, and heaven was aware of what was happening in earth, and there was authority in heaven over earth, and who stood at the top of that ladder in charge of the whole thing? It was the Lord God. I can see Jesus saying, see, that was me. I can see Jesus going through Genesis and Exodus forward and pointing to himself so that they could see none of this just happened. It was already ordained by God in the old covenant. He's all over the Bible. In Genesis, he's the creator, he's the redeemer. In Exodus, he's that lamb whose blood caused death to have to pass over. In Leviticus, he's the high priest. He's the way you get to God. You don't just come before God. You had to come before God through a priest, and that priest had to have spotless blood. I can see Jesus showing them in the book of Numbers that he was the rock. He was the rock. We talked about it Sunday. He was the rock that brought forth the water for the children of Israel. The first time the rock was what? It was smitten. The first time the rock was smitten with Moses' rod, and water came out, and God told Moses the second time, speak to the rock, speak to the rock, and it'll give you water. We know Moses didn't speak, but it was still a picture of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says that rock was Christ, and because the rock of Christ was smitten on that cross, I can now speak to the rock. I can speak to the rock and have my own water, water of life, water for my soul, hallelujah. I can see Jesus using the book of Numbers to preach himself in that way, hallelujah. I can see him going to Deuteronomy and showing where the first time it was ever mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy that if a man be hung on a tree, he was to be cursed. And I can see Jesus pointing to Deuteronomy where it was first prophesied of one that would hang on a tree and that he was hung on a tree to bear my sin, to bear my shame, to bear my curse so that I could walk in his blessing. And that's what Galatians 3 promises, hallelujah. I can see him turning to Joshua and showing him that it wasn't Moses that got the children of Israel across the Jordan into the promised land, because God's law will not get you to heaven. It was Joshua that got them on in. And we hear the story, who won the battle of Jericho? And we know Joshua, the angel of the Lord, won the battle of Jericho. And I can see Jesus using Joshua to point to himself, hallelujah. And Judges proving and demonstrating that he is the one that delivers us from injustice, and then going over to Ruth. And you know Ruth is packed. Come on, somebody. Ruth is packed. Ruth is a Gentile woman from Moab that happened to marry into the right family, but her husband died. And she's got a mother-in-law by the name of Naomi. And Naomi was over there in Moab where she didn't belong. She's from Bethlehem. And now here she is, Naomi in Moab, and her husband's died, and her two daughter-in-laws are living with her. Both their husbands are gone, and there's famine in the land. And she gets word that back in Bethlehem, God is visiting his people and bringing bread. And she said, oh, girls, I got to get on back to where I came from. I'm going back to Bethlehem where there is bread. And Orpah, one of the sisters, looked at her, and she said, okay, I'm going to go with you. And she said, let me make it clear now, baby. There'll be no men there. She said, ooh, let me go back to Moab. Come on, somebody. But Ruth in chapter 1, verse 16 said, entreat me not to leave you, nor to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And Ruth went with her. And while Ruth is in the land, gleaning the fields as the poor would do in that day, a man that owned the land by the name of Boaz noticed Ruth, got his eyes on Ruth. He's a Jew, she's a Gentile, but it didn't stop his love. And he commanded his servants to start leaving her handfuls on purpose. She went home from the field that day loaded. And Naomi looked at her and said, oh girl, what field have you been in? She said, girl, don't you be found in nobody else's field. And man, she went back to that field the next day, and what did he do? He set a table for her. He set a table for her, and she sat up at Boaz's table just as if she was in his kingdom and in his lineage, and he would end up marrying her. He would end up redeeming her, and she would become the grandmother of King David, and her name shows up in the genealogy of Jesus. A Gentile woman from a place called Moab came into the genealogy of Jesus because she's a picture of the church, a Gentile church, outcast, outside, no right, no heir, but a redeemer looked at us and began to show us handfuls of purpose and favor and demonstrated his grace. Jesus is all over the book of Ruth. Man, it could have took Jesus all day to go through all the books of the Bible and to show himself. Are y'all with me here? I'm only in Ruth. You got Samuel, the prophet, priest, king, kings, highlighting the life of Solomon, Chronicles, which is really just a repeat of Kings, given the chronicle of the kings, Ezra, the priest proclaiming freedom. I mean, as you go on, Nehemiah, if you can't preach Jesus in Nehemiah, you don't know Jesus. Man, he's got the word in one hand and a tool in the other, rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem and restoring everything that had been broken down. They mocked Nehemiah because he showed up at work one day and all he had to work with was old torn down temples and old torn down buildings and a torn down fence. And they asked him a question, will you bring a structure? Will you bring life out of ash? Will you make a life out of rubbish, out of mess, out of brokenness? And Nehemiah said, you better watch me. Nehemiah 2:20, he quoted, he said, the God of heaven, he hath prospered us. Therefore, we his children will rise and build. And he took ash and he took rubbish and he made something glorious out of it. And I relate, because he took somebody that shouldn't have known the life I know right now, and he made something out of it. Not because he had a whole lot to work with. He didn't have nothing to work with. But by his grace and by his power, he made me something out of nothing. Come on, somebody. Hey. When you go into God's word looking for Jesus, that's when you find revelation. Esther, the protector of God's people. Job, the mediator between God and man. Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Proverbs, the wisdom of God. Ecclesiastes, the preacher and the meaning of life. The Song of Solomon, the author of true and faithful love. Isaiah, the suffering servant. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Lamentations, he who laments to God on our behalf. Ezekiel, son of man. Daniel, fourth man in the fire. Hosea, the faithful husband, even when he has a runaway wife. Oh, man, I wish I had more time. Joel, the sender of God's spirit. Amos, the one who delivers justice for those that are oppressed and demonstrates the power of agreement and unity. Obadiah, the judge over those who do evil. Jonah, woo, Jonah, 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 Jonah. God says, go this way. He said, no, I'm not doing it. Swallowed up by a great fish that Jesus said would be a whale in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights before he spit out. That's an easy one. Jesus already highlighted that one, as it was for Jonah. As Jonah was in the heart of the whale for 3 days, in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, I will be in the heart of there 3 days and three nights. Jesus can, he's using scripture to reveal himself. Micah. He's the one that puts our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah. Nahum, the proclaimer of future world peace. Hallelujah. That the mind can't even begin to imagine. And Habakkuk, the author of faith, and tells us how to live by faith by writing it down and running with it and waiting on it. Hallelujah. Zephaniah, the warrior that saves. Haggai, the one that restores. Hallelujah. Zechariah, the prophet that would be pierced. It's literally recorded in Zechariah that he would be pierced. It even tells how much money he would be sold for and where the money would end up. 30 pieces of silver ended up in the potter's hand. All prophesied before it happened. Malachi, the son of righteousness that would have healing in his wings. You say, did Jesus have wings? No, but the word wings in Hebrew means mantle, and it's what Jewish men would wear. It's a tallit. It was a prayer shawl they wore it. It had tassels on the bottom of it, and Malachi prophesied that his would have healing in it, and obviously the woman with issue of blood must have known that, because in Mark 5, when she came in behind Jesus, she touched that tallit. She touched that mantle. She touched those wings, and immediately virtue went out of him and got on her, and she was healed. That was the fulfillment of what Malachi had prophesied hundreds of years before it ever manifested with Jesus. My point is that you can go to any book of the Bible and preach Jesus right from that book. Why? Because he is the Word of God. You can't name anybody else that you could point to and have pre-recorded text speaking of their life before they ever were born. Let me finish this up. Watch verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he were going to keep on going. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. He took bread and blessed it. This is communion. He took bread and blessed it. As often as you eat this bread, do so in remembrance of me. He broke the bread and gave it to them. And when he broke that bread, which was a type of body of Christ, notice verse 31, and their eyes were open, and their eyes were open. What made their eyes to open? He took the word of God and showed them himself, and he broke the bread of his word. And when he gave them that broken bread, in light of the scripture he had just shown them, their eyes were open. And they knew who he was. Mission accomplished. He vanished out of their sight. I love this verse. Verse 32. And they said one to another, read it out loud, Shreveport Bossier. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scripture? Man, underline that last statement. That's so beautiful. And why he opened to us the scriptures. That's what he does. This has not changed. Go with me in closing to the book of Acts. I want to go to the 8th chapter. Acts chapter number 8. He opened to us the scriptures. And notice what they said about it. Look at what they said about that. They said when he opened to us the scriptures, he said our heart burned. Did not our heart burn within us? Spiritual heartburn, a whole lot better than natural heartburn. Amen. He said our heart burned when he opened the scriptures. And church, I'm telling you right now, the same Holy Spirit will cause our hearts to burn when the scripture is open. We got to get back to his word. Watch this in Acts chapter 8. I got a couple more things I want to show you. Watch this, Acts 8. If you're there, say amen. We'll look at it starting in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. He's reading the scroll of Isaiah. And we know by the text, he's reading the 53rd chapter. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. So he's reading it out loud. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. It's Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? I had the honor with my wife and our oldest, James Christian, of teaching Acts 8 in Ethiopia to ministers at the local Bible society. I was in Ethiopia, and I had some sessions where I taught, and I was able to read this in Ethiopia, and I'll never forget that moment as long as I live. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Let's read that out loud together. Ready? Read. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Church, that's what we're supposed to do. Open the scripture and preach Jesus. Open the scriptures and preach Jesus. This won't take me but a minute. I want to show you two other verses to back this up. Go with me to Acts 18. He opened the scripture and preached Jesus. He didn't open the scripture to find some scripture that worked for him so that he could, you know, condemn somebody. You know, there are individuals that will use the word craftily. God's not called us to use the word in a crafty manner to our benefit. He's given us his word so we can learn Jesus and preach Jesus. And that is enough, because Jesus is enough. But watch this in Acts chapter 18. If you're there, say amen. And we'll look at it down in verse number 26. I'm jumping that far down to save time, but watch this. Well, sometimes you just can't save time. You got the word, can't worry about it. So let me back up to verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Read the next statement. Knowing only the baptism of John. So he was limited. He was on fire for God, fervent spirit, great man. But he only knew one message, the baptism of John. Verse 26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Because he was missing something. Verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Read verse 28 out loud. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ, or that Jesus was the anointed one. So here's an eloquent man, a well-spoken man, a man fervent in the spirit, on fire for God, but he only knows the baptism of John. Aquila and Priscilla said, man, you're on fire, but your message is limited, and you're not making the right one preeminent. So they pull him to the side. They show him in the word that the word is all about Jesus. He got it, and they sent him on his way. And from that moment forward, he was able to use the scriptures to prove that Jesus was the Christ. They had to get the man in line. What was in line? Using the Bible to preach Jesus. Straight out of the book. One more, and I'm done. Acts 28. Acts 28. Get in his word and look for him. Get in his word and just look for him. Hallelujah. All right. Acts 28, Lord willing, the last verse. Oh, it's good. By the way, look at what chapter you're in the book of Acts. 28. You're at the end. It's the end of the book. The word Acts is short for actions. It's recording the actions of the early church, the actions of the apostles. Now we're at the end. The church has been filled with the Spirit of God. It's been given its assignment to go preach Jesus. And we're at the end of the book. And watch what we're reading at the end of the actions of the early church. Look what we're reading. Verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. That's the Apostle Paul. To whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. Now read the rest with me out loud, Shreveport Bowes. You ready? Read. Persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. What was the Apostle Paul doing? Persuading people of Jesus using what? The law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning to evening. His message was the scriptures. But who is he preaching from the scriptures? He's preaching Jesus from the scriptures. Jesus is not a message that is separate from the scriptures. Jesus is the scripture.
Hey, I'm going to close in a minute, but you got to get this. I don't know what happened. At what point did we put Jesus over here and he's some five-point eloquent outline written by some sophisticated preacher? No, Jesus is the scripture. When you separate Jesus from the scripture, that's when you enter into error. That's when you get a man-made Jesus. That's when you've lost the truth of who he is. Jesus is the word, Revelation 19:13, and his name is called the word of God. Don't ever let anybody ever say, separate Jesus from his word. Jesus and his word are one. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Your relationship with your Bible will reveal your relationship with the Lord. Well, I got Jesus in my heart. He knows in my heart. I don't have time for, okay. I can't help you. Jesus is one with his word. When they heard Jesus preach in Luke 24, when they heard Jesus preach, they said, ooh, because he used scripture. They said, ooh, didn't our heart burn? And you know what my prayer is? Is that it don't ever get old for us. Don't let it get old. And it's easy. It's easy because the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. That means knowledge will just start causing your head to get bigger, more confident in yourself. And when I was younger, the older pastor's minister would see me preach and be on fire. And they'd say, ooh, boy, you're on fire. Just wait. And I was younger, and I would say, my fire is never going to burn. And now that I'm older, I can see how it would. Because people in ministry and life will just drain you. Jeremiah went through it in chapter 1. When God came to him and gave him his word, Jeremiah got to a point, he said, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to declare his name anymore. He said, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire. He has spiritual heartburn. Did not our heart burn? He said, my heart burned with fire, and I couldn't stay in my room. I couldn't stay in my house. I had to go let somebody know about who he is and what he had done for me. And I know life sometimes can just drain you, and we can be spiritually, mentally, and physically drained, and I feel like I've been there plenty of times. But listen to me. The word of God has the power to relight that flame. And some of you right now, you know, you may have been raised in church and got out of church and you went wayward and now you know you're in his word. Listen, he can give you, he can ignite that flame in a way you've never known before. You don't look back and say, oh, my best days are behind. No, your best days are not behind you. No, are you serious? No, the Lord wants to use you just as the Apostle Paul was used all the way up to the end. And I'm asking God, Lord, don't let me lose my fire. I want to keep this passion all the way to the end. If you feel like you have burned out, if you have gotten weary in your well-doing and you're wayward right now, maybe this message tonight was to tell you, get back in my word. Get back in my word. Don't get there to look for a sermon. Don't get there to look for some scripture you can put on somebody. Go in there looking for me. His word is eternal.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.